You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits or join the Facebook discussion groups www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Are we about to talk about basketball? Have I come on the wrong podcast?
I think I came on the wrong podcast.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
We're talking about the Los Angeles Mike Trout today, right?
Yeah, I think so. Although I do know who LeBron James is, so if you need me to talk about basketball, I'm ready.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Question is, would you pick LeBron James or Mike Trout?
I think I would take Mike Trout in most endeavors, unless it was most interesting interview, and then probably not.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brentz. I'm joined by Darius Austin. Darius, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Are we about to talk about basketball? Have I come on the wrong podcast?
I think I came on the wrong podcast. We're talking about the Los Angeles Mike Trout today, right?
Yeah, I think so. Although I do know who LeBron James is, so if you need me to talk about basketball, I'm ready.
Question is, would you pick LeBron James or Mike Trout? That's the real question here.
I think I would take Mike Trout in most endeavors, unless it was most interesting interview, and then probably not.
All right, so like I said, we're going to be talking about the Flying Trouts today. So is Trout playing all 9 positions, or is he just? Are we only allowed to have him at 1 this year, unfortunately?
This feels like an effectively wild question. I think the Angels would be better if Trout could play all 9 positions, and unfortunately they can't clone him.
It would be a much better podcast if we could just talk about Trout for like 30-plus minutes, because it's possible. It's real possible. It's just, I don't know how helpful that would be for the rest of the viewers.
Yeah. So, well, I have a question for you. Did you take any time to think about whether Trout was going to be your number one pick?
For this year?
Yeah.
No. I own him in a 20-team dynasty league, in which we have 40-man rosters. So I had got him last year for AJ Pollock and Dansby Swanson, and that was like 2 weeks before Pollock got hurt.
Wow.
So nice. I mean, literally like 5 days after, the guy's like, "Can I trade back for Trout?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "All right, I'll give you Pollock and Swanson." I was like, no. I'm going to want more than that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it if Pollock was healthy. So,
I mean, I can understand why if you're like trying to, like the guy, I can understand why, like if you're potentially competing and you think that Swanson's going to be an absolute monster and Pollock was going to have the same season as 2015, but I probably wouldn't have done it either. But yeah, I mean, we could talk about Trout because he's going to be the unanimous number one pick. I didn't think about that. Last year I was contemplating putting Bryce Harper there. I think I did put Harper, to be fair. But that's because I do know that Harper has a ton of value, and I didn't see his average tanking like it did. So that was part of the reason behind it. We also hadn't had a 30-plus steal season from Trout in a few years, so I wasn't sure if that was going to be there. So for that reason, I had kind of gone on to the Harper bandwagon, but I knew it was a real close 1-2. I couldn't be unhappy with getting Trout in 2, definitely. But why don't we start off by talking about the catcher? That will literally take us 30 seconds. It's Martin how the hell do you say his name?
Maldonado.
Maldonado. Okay, I'm not as bad as Justin Mason is in butchering names, but I'm getting up there. Last year in 208 at-bats, he had 8 home runs with the .202 average. Is there literally anything here?
I think he can take a walk. He's never been remotely close to a full-time player. I've seen that the Angels are still kind of interested in Wieters. I'm kind of still going to be a little bit surprised if they start the season with Maldonado slated to get the majority of the playing time. So I think for fantasy, don't worry about it unless we get to that point, you know, and like you're in March and suddenly it's like, oh, the Angels actually are going to go with him. But this is a career .217 hitter without all that much power, who's never played even, I don't think he's even had 300 play appearances in a season. So hard to project him for an awful lot.
Yeah, for me, I think Wieters would be a real good signing for them because it would at least give you a third at and potentially, you know, if all breaks right, you know, Calhoun could have a good season. And if Maben was able to stay healthy and, you know, it's quite possible for them to have some good hitters. And if Wieters came on board, you know, this could actually be like a somewhat decent offense. I don't know if they'll actually do it. They still need a little bit of pitching just because of the back end of their rotation. But I think that Wieters would at least be a good start. And he doesn't have a team, and there's not a lot of places that a starting catcher really can go. I personally would like to see him on the Mets and get rid of Darno, but that's just me. I won't touch him at all unless like he goes on like the hottest possible streak to start the season. Then I'll consider him. But typically, I like to hold on to my catcher that I draft at least for the first month, just because unless he gets hurt, it doesn't make sense for me to cut bait because I typically try to pick my catchers extremely well based on how the rest of my team is. So I have faith in them to kind of come around if they're starting off slow. Why don't we move over to first base? And it's going to be a little bit of a mix between Albert Pujols and CJ Cron. Now, personally, I think that Cron's just not very good. I think he's very middle of the pack. Albert Pujols, he can't field the position, but he'll still get you 30 home runs with 100-plus RBIs. That average is going to keep going down every year. But, you know, if he can hit like around 260, 270, I think at least you get decent value considering considering where you'll end up taking him. You know, you'll probably get him outside of the top 100. I don't know. Do you have an NFBC ADP up by any chance that you would know where he's going?
I have got it, actually. Let me have a quick look for Trout, for Pujols, sorry.
For Trout. Trout's pretty top of the list.
Can we play Trout at first base? I think that would be good.
I think that would take away from his defensive metrics.
Yeah, but the bat still plays.
The bat plays everywhere.
The bat will Pujols play. Is going 122nd overall.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his season last year, if he's able to come close to that, I'm pretty sure that that's just really good value, at least in my opinion. I don't know if you agree, but for me, I don't really want anything to do with CJ Cron, but I'd like to potentially have some shares in Pujols depending on how the rest of my team looks.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is a good value for him. I know he had the surgery again to relieve his plantar fasciitis at the beginning of December. I think the projected time frame on that was about 4 months, so he's kind of supposed to be ready start of March, but I don't know whether that's depressing his value a little bit. I think part of it might just be the fact that he was once the greatest hitter in baseball and now he's just, you know, this guy who's okay and he can't run. And all he can really do is, you know, blast 30 home runs and sort of then, yeah, hobble to first base. But for fantasy purposes, he's definitely worth more than the 122nd pick, in my opinion. So as long as he's on the field, I think that is a nice value for him.
Yeah, I think that he'll be able to, like you were saying, if he's able to be back at the beginning of spring training, and he's able to be healthy. Now, I know he's not always going to be healthy, but he did have 593 at-bats last year. Now, that will help coming from the DH spot, because he played the DH probably about 135 games, I would say. But it's nice to see him at least stay healthy for the most part, and we'll be able to see what he's, we'll be able to see what he can do. I do think that he'll be able to at least be a player that's going to be knocking in runs and hitting home runs. And I don't really like players who tank average, but I think that he's someone who I can at least consider, because if he hits around 270, at least it's not a total Chris Carter situation where you're hitting like close to 200. Why don't we move over to second base? And that's going to be Danny Espinosa. And as we were talking about before the podcast, Luis Valbuena just agreed to terms yesterday. So he could actually spell a little of Espinosa. And now Espinosa's a switch hitter, so it gives him the ability to actually have a lefty. But you could see, because Espinosa did hit 209 last year, you could see him getting taken out if his bat just can't carry him. What do you think about second base?
Yeah, I think I kind of liked Espinosa when they first made the move, because I thought basically it was him and Cliff Pennington who could play the position, and I didn't really see Cliff Pennington taking an awful lot of playing time away. He's the guy who, if you're in a league where you need some average, then obviously he's going to kill you. But as long as you've got cover there, then he's got power and speed. And if you're in an OBP league, then I kind of like him because he can take a walk. But now that Valbuena's turned up, there's a little bit more uncertainty there. I think you can maybe knock 100 or 150 at-bats at least off his playing time. And I just don't like this situation. I think both of them can be useful players for fantasy, but until we get a little bit more clarity on it, then I think it could be a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, it's definitely a position that on this team I'm looking to stay away from, but I'll see how it's starting to play out, and we'll have a better idea of how things are going in spring training. We'll kind of be able to see how Valbuena is being used, because they don't really have a spot for him, so they'll move him around. But because he did have a surprising year last year, hitting 260, and he does have some power, it would be good to see him in the lineup. I could, as we were saying before, I could see him being at first base and then moving Crone, like you were telling me. So I think that's probably the most likely thing to happen, because they did bring in Espinosa. They do like his defense and everything, and he did have some power last year. So we'll see how everything turns out. Why don't we move over to Andrelton Simmons, who is kind of the opposite of Danny Espinosa in terms of how he is at the plate. He doesn't have – he's got barely any power. He's got basically the same amount of stolen bases, but he's got a better average. And they're both great defensively. So what are your thoughts for Andrelton Simmons? Is he just someone you're totally staying away from?
Yeah, I just don't see him as a guy who's ever going to offer you any upside. He doesn't strike out, so I think his batting average will be okay. And if you're in the kind of league where you're not looking for a big upside, you just want somebody who's going to stay on the field, and he will stay on the field because his defense is probably the best. I think it's a contest between him and Kevin Kiermaier for best defensive player in baseball, in my opinion. So you can guarantee that we'll get the playing time, but I just don't think there's an awful lot in the way of offensive upside with him. So unless I'm in the kind of situation where I'm just looking for a very solid, unflashy middle infield option, then I'm going to stay away from Simmons.
Yeah, I really don't want any part of Simmons unless I like strictly need someone who's a batting average guy. And typically I could go find someone else who's going to at least provide me other stats. But, you know, you could do worse than him, because there are some shortstops who have, like, legitimate, like, one home run power and barely any stolen bases. So at least he gives you four, which isn't great. But if he could get that up just a little bit more as he keeps getting older, and if he can at least stay at the 10 stolen bases, maybe chip in a few more and keep at that 280-plus average, then at least he's a serviceable backup in the deep league. Why don't we move over to third base, and that's going to be Yunel Escobar. Yunel Escobar had a decent season last year. He had 68 runs scored, a .304 average. You know, he doesn't get a ton in RBIs or home runs, and he got nothing in stolen bases. But where do you think that Yunel Escobar is going to be able to provide you value in 16-team leagues or deeper, or do you think that that's roughly the area that's going to give you some value?
Yeah, I think it's got to be pretty deep for me. He's never had more than six steals. He's had double-digit homers once, and I think he got a decent batting average because he kind of got away with high BABIP, particularly on ground balls and fly balls last year, which I think certainly in the case of the flies is not that sustainable. So I think you've got to be looking pretty deep. Again, same thing with Valbuena. I kind of liked him in extremely deep leagues just because I thought, well, this guy's a third baseman and who else is going to play third base? But Valbuena can play third base. And so I can see him cutting a little bit into the playing time, especially if Escobar does struggle a bit. So I like him for that reason less than I did a couple of days ago.
Do we think that Jeffrey Marte is going to get any playing time this year based on the fact that they just brought in Valbuena?
I've not seen any particular indication that that would be the case, but Escobar also, I think they picked him up for $7 million option this year, so it's not like this is a guy that they're majorly committed to. I think if he's not playing very well and they want to see what they've got in Marte, then it's a possibility. But I would certainly, you know, maybe keep one eye on him in a deeper league just in case if Escobar gets off to a slow start. But nothing other than that.
Yeah, because Marte had a decent season last year. You know, 15 home runs and 258 at bats is nice. The 252 average, you know, that can come up if he gets more at bats and he gets gets more used to just playing every day. So I do think that he has some deep league value. So he's someone I definitely would want to keep an eye on. Why don't we move into the outfield, which is probably a little more exciting than anything in the infield anyway. Right now, you got Mike Trout in center. You got Cole Calhoun in right, and you got most likely Cameron Maben and a partnership with Ben Revere in left. What are your thoughts on this outfield? And other than telling me that Mike Trout is good, please.
Well, that takes away all of my analysis. Mike Trout is obviously almost a Hall of Famer already. I don't have anything to say about Mike Trout that people don't already know. Calhoun is the kind of guy I think nobody's going to go, wow, what an exciting pick, but he's very reliable. And guess what? He hits ahead of Mike Trout. So all he's got to do is get on base, which he can do. He walked 10% of the time last year, and then Mike Trout's going to drive him in. So I like Cole Calhoun. I think he's a very solid pick. If you're just looking for a dependable outfielder, then I think he's a pretty good candidate for that.
Yeah.
If Cameron Maben played, a full season, then I think great, 25, 30 steals. He's always had the tools, but when has Cameron Maben ever played a full season? He's never actually played 150 games. And yeah, Revere is there to step in and, you know, he'll probably be a pinch runner because he can steal. But he was just god awful last year, and I still have nightmares about him as a Revere owner last season who was counting him for some speed. So.
Yeah, for me, I do like Calhoun because he is consistent. Now, he's not the greatest, but he is a consistent outfielder, which is, you know, nice in this type of offense because he is hitting in front of Trout. So all he's got to do is get on base, like you were saying, and he'll get knocked in more times than not. I do think that Cameron Maben, if he is able to stay healthy, when he's healthy, he provides you good value. And I think he'll be good for this team. And I do think that when he's out, Ben Revere will have a better season than last year. Last year he had some injury issues, and it would just be nice to see him make some improvements. So I think that the combo between them and the left field and everything could give them a nice leadoff hitter, basically, and then they could have Calhoun at the two and Trout three. You know, it gives them some good value. Now, if they decide to play Trout in the two and Calhoun in the one, then I can understand that as well, and they could put Maben or Revere in the nine and at least have some speed there, but We'll just have to see how this outfield turns out. But I do think that overall they have a nice outfield. And, you know, there's nothing to really say about Trout. He's going to have another great season as long as he stays healthy, which I don't see any reason that he wouldn't. But it's like you were saying, he's got MVP written all over him. It just would be nice if there was more of him in the league.
Well, when the cloning technology develops, then Mike Trout will be first in line.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be one of the people that are first in line, if not the first. And I'm pretty sure everyone's going to rush to the wire to get him. Why don't we move on to the pitching side? And Darius, let me ask you a question. Who do you think is the most owned pitcher in ESPN currently for fantasy baseball?
Am I allowed to cheat now, or do I have to go through the guesses?
You have to go through at least one guess, but not cheat.
Well, I'll be honest and say that my original guess was Shoemaker, because I was trying to figure out who had had the most productive season of these annual pitchers, and maybe the people who'd quit on the season had sort of picked him up and then not dropped him when he got hurt.
That would have actually been one of my guesses as well. The fact that Andrew Bailey is the most owned pitcher for any Angels pitcher, basically, that's redundant. He's the most owned Angels pitcher, and to be fair, at 40%, that's extremely low. So you know how injury ravaged they were last year. You know, they lost Shoemaker, they lost Richards, they had lost Gags, they had lost Haney, they lost Tropiano, CJ Wilson, Jared Weaver. Now the last two aren't very good, but still, you know, they do have a lot of injuries. They had to bring in Tim Lincecum at one point. Now Tim Lincecum had as many earned runs as he had innings pitched, so that's to the tune of a nice 9.16 ERA. But
you're not bad mouthing Tim Lincecum, are you?
Oh, I'm bad mouthing Tim Lincecum.
Tim Lincecum is the reason I'm a Giants fan. So,
really,
yeah,
I never would have guessed that. Now, to be fair, he's the reason I kept buying all the MLB baseball games, because I just wanted to have him on my team and hit home runs with him. I never could. But what are you looking for from this pitching staff this year?
I think I'm looking for cheap upside. Shoemaker had some really nice gains last year, and then had that terrifying injury. And had to have surgery to stop bleeding on his brain. He seems to be fine. The way he's been talking about it, you know, seems like, oh, yeah, whatever, I just got hit in the head with a pitch, and now that was a thing that happened, and I'm okay now. It was, really worrying for a little while there, but he developed that splitter. He's got great control. So I think, you know, there's some upside with him. There's obviously upside with Richards. He's got the stuff. Whether he's got the control and his UCL is fully healed is another matter. He's been having stem cell injections to treat that, which, as far as I can tell, have been working really well. They didn't work for Heaney, but they seem to have worked for him. So we will see how he goes in spring training and maybe take it from there. And I think Skaggs also has upside. I don't know what to expect from him at all, but the one thing that I liked was that the velocity did seem to be back after his return. But even his MLB seasons before he got hurt were kind of all over the place in terms of peripherals. So I don't quite know what you'll get out of him, but I think if nothing else, if you're taking a late shot on him, then he has got the prospect pedigree to provide some upside.
Yeah, I do like all of the pitchers. Well, not all of them. I'm not a big fan of Nolasco, but at least Nolasco is consistent, because at least he can get to 200 innings. But, you know, I like Richards. It just depends on how he comes back from this rehab of his. It's like you were saying, we didn't really see it work for Haney, but it seems to be working for Richards. And as of right now, I'm not going to be the one who goes and buys him, but if he falls enough, I will definitely take a shot on him. Tyler Skaggs, I did like what I saw in the limited time he pitched last year. Be nice if he was able to just get a little more control, cut down on those walks. But I think that as he gets back into the swing of things, I think his stuff is good enough that he'll be able to at least come and turn into the number two pitcher on this team, and maybe a potential three or four for fantasy teams. Shoemaker, we saw him have limited stuff last year in terms of his greatness. It would be nice to be able to see him continue that. Hopefully he's able to fully recover and come back after his head injury. Now he did have a good season coming into that. So as long as he's able to be a full go by the time that we get to spring training, I'm definitely going to look to try to buy him, because I think he's going to be able to be available late. Why don't we move into this bullpen and tell me what you think of this, because this, it's frankly a mess. We got Mike Scioscia, who's like super loyal, which makes him sometimes an absolutely terrible manager because he's probably going to go with Houston Street. But we both agree that he should go with Cam Bedrosian. You want to talk about this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about this because I think I know how it's going to go. I own Houston Street in a sort of a dynasty league, and I hate it because I can't drop him, because even though he's terrible, because I know that there's a pretty good chance that he's going to get saves. And Cam Bedrosian has got so much greater upside. He had a really good season last season. The strikeouts look great. He's the kind of pitcher that, certainly in a deeper league, I would own anyway because of the strikeout upside. And if he could just get the saves as well, then he would vault pretty quickly up the closer rankings. And then you've got Andrew Bailey in the middle, who, as you said, is the most owned pitcher and actually picked up a few saves towards the end of the season. So we've got a three-way battle. This isn't unlike the Reds, who we've previously talked about. You've got Bedrosian is the Iglesias with the big upside, and Street is Storen with the experience. And then you've got Bailey, I guess, is more like Lorenzen as sort of the dark horse. And I don't really know which way it's going to go, and maybe we won't even know when the season starts. So as much as I think Bedrosian has the chance to be a nice closer, at this point in the offseason, I don't really want to bet on that.
Yeah, for me, if he does get the job, he's going to be a pretty good closer in terms of my rankings. It would be nice to see how spring training goes. You know, I'm kind of just hoping for Houston Street to get an injury so that I can see Bedrosian, because Bedrosian was going to be the closer once Street went down last year, and then he got hurt himself. So we'll just have to see how everything plays out. But I have a lot of expectations for Bedrosian once he is healthy. And even if he's not, I think he's going to provide you very good value because he gets a lot of strikeouts and he has very low ratios. So we'll see how he's able to do on this team. Darius, is there anyone else that you want to talk about on the flying Mike Trouts?
Well, unless we want to talk about Mike Trout again.
Oh, we certainly can. We still got time. It's not we're only a couple minutes into this podcast, it feels like. Frankly, this is the fact that I did more with a preview for the Twins than the Angels kind of says a lot.
Can we somehow talk about Robbie Ray in relation to the Angels? Do you think we can manage that?
I'm not sure how Justin would feel about that, frankly. But
I will say
that. Why don't we just go talk about Mike Trout, basically?
Yeah, so Mike Trout is, I think we're not so far away now from, you know, talking about Babe Ruth and Barry Bonds and then Mike Trout. It's getting to that point now, isn't it?
It seems to be.
Yeah, I don't know what to say anymore. I think, you know, he's basically, every season you say, oh, well, Mike Trout is, you know, the best player in baseball, and then he keeps being the best player in baseball, and you think maybe he'll drop off. But actually, Mike Trout is 25. And so if we assume a sort of relatively normal aging curve, then maybe we haven't even seen the best of Mike Trout yet. And I don't know if you can imagine Mike Trout 45 or 50 home run hitter, but that is just terrifying for the rest of the league. And the only sad thing really is that the Angels have wasted almost all of it. But I think Mike Trout has been well compensated for his time, so I won't pity him too much.
Yeah, I can't really pity him, but I can pity the fact that he's on a shitty team. But let's just hope that he'll get some talent around him. Now, if you're in a dynasty league and you own Mike Trout, are you trading him for anything? And if so, what are you looking to get back in return if you do move him? Because that's basically the only type of question any owner would ever have.
Yeah, I mean, I am. I'm in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits 20-team Dynasty League. I do own Mike Trout. Nobody's actually tried to prize him away from me yet, so it's difficult for me to say in practical terms, but it would take a lot, and I want something guaranteed. I don't care how many prospects you offer me. I want someone who I know is a high-end major league contributor for several years. I'm never going to give Trout up for somebody who's uncertain, because we all know that prospects can fail. You know, even very high-end prospects, it seemed like not so long ago we were talking about how Lucas Giolito was slam dunk, going to be a great pitcher, and now everybody's down on him. So I think if you're going to trade me Trout, I want two or three pieces that I know are going to be pretty certain, high-level contributors in the league. And to be honest, I don't think anybody's going to bother to try and offer that to me. So I'm probably just going to keep Mike Trout.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what I'd ask for. I think obviously it depends on what I would need. But I think if I was able to get a top, I don't know, top 15 overall player and maybe a top 30 overall player, I think that's at least a good starting point. And that's probably still considering selling a little bit low. But, you know, it really just depends. You know, like, you're not going to move him in a rebuild. You almost have to get really blown away with the package. And at some point, it's like, you know, he's great and everything, but it just doesn't make sense to trade him because you're either not going to get enough, or if you want to get enough, the other owner probably isn't willing to give it. So, you know, you see that in fantasy basketball with James Harden and Anthony Davis and all those type of players, that it just makes it really tough for you to be able to find a trade partner. But we'll just basically have to be able to see. If there's any listeners out there who have Mike Trout and they are actually given a good offer, you're more than welcome to ask Darius or myself what we think of it. But Darius, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
So you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. Send me your Mike Trout trade offers. Who knows, maybe I can get an article out of that. I'm also going to be working on some things based around the rankings and ADP for FWFB. On the topic of the Angels, actually, I've been reminded I did write a piece being optimistic about them for a British-based site that I write for called Batflips and Nerds. So I'm going to be doing something soon over there about British-born players who are in the major leagues, one of whom is in the Angels organization, Jordan Serino. We talked to him a few months ago because he was part of the World Baseball Classic qualifier team. So, watch out for that. If you're at all interested in British players in MLB, that'll be something I've got coming up soon as well.
For me, I am currently our host for our fantasy basketball podcast. Eric Mackey joins me on that. I will be hosting our Tuesday baseball show with Chuck Anderson and Evan Peterson. And as of right now, I'm just getting ready to get into the groove of getting ready to start writing again for baseball. So Darius, any last pointers before we say goodbye to our listeners?
I think all we can say really is to draft Mike Trout.
At some point, you know, maybe like fifth overall or something. I think I'd be happy with the value that he gives me in fifth overall.
Can you imagine just like being there, not at the number one pick, and finding that Mike Trout had fallen to you? I can't even think about it.
You know, I honestly, I did a startup keeper league last year, and Trout was not the first pick.
Yeah, I don't. I know people were excited.
To be fair, I think. Actually, no. I'm sorry. There was Trout did go first overall. There was consideration that he wasn't, and I had the second overall pick. And because it was a points league, I knew I was going Clayton Kershaw. So there was a chance that if he didn't get picked first and Bryce Harper did, that Trout was going to fall to third.
Oh,
kind of like unfair. I would have just gone and traded like my next three picks just to get the third pick overall and had Trout and Kershaw as my two in the keeper league.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was two or three, maybe 3 years back, I think somebody was making a point. They just really loved Calvin Johnson in fantasy football. Not that Calvin Johnson wasn't exceptional, but I was sitting there at number two expecting, you know, Peterson to go number one. And then suddenly this guy who had the first pick took Calvin Johnson. And I almost didn't pick Adrian Peterson because I couldn't believe that he was there. Like, I sat there for a few seconds thinking, what's happening here? Something gone wrong.
It's almost like, did I not get a news report or something? Is he injured forever?
Has he got hurt or have I missed something? But no, the guy just wanted to take Calvin Johnson. So.
Yeah, well, that's definitely how I feel like that league last year was about to go. Once I heard that the person was actually contemplating taking Harper, I was actually going to try to convince him to take Harper, and then I was going to try to trade for the third overall pick. And knowing that I had the second overall pick, I just wasn't going to say anything to anyone else. So I was just going to tried to have that and just, you know, get them both. And it didn't work out for me, unfortunately. But it's all right. Darius, basically, wanted to say have a good baseball season. And I will see you on the next podcast.
Looking forward to it.
Have a good season, everyone.